Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes producer and journalist Cyrus Farivar to discuss his new book, Habeas Data, Privacy versus the Rise of Surveillance Tech, an insightful look at the implications for the future of privacy. Tuesday, June 12th at 7 p.m. at the Ivy Bookshop. More at theivybookshop.com or call 410-377-2966.
Hello from the Baltimore Sun, I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 395, for Thursday, May 31st, 2018. On today's show, a Baltimore movie, a Baltimore homecoming, and a good book recommended by a Baltimorean. The movie is called Bored in the USA. It was written and shot here in Baltimore, and it goes on the big screen at the venerable Senator Theater a week from today. And that's appropriate because, in addition to being a made-in-Baltimore romance, the film is a bit of an homage to old movies. The writer and director, Mike Fanazzo, will be here to tell us about it. So now, imagine a gathering of native Baltimoreans who have achieved significant levels of career success, even fame. Josh Charles, Muggsy Bogues, Michael Phelps, Julie Bowen, Wes Moore. They and dozens of others come back to Baltimore for a few days to see the positive things happening in their hometown and to hear about opportunities to help. This is the basic idea behind the Baltimore Homecoming, scheduled for 3 days in October to generate some interest and investment in a city whose recent struggles have been widely reported in the national, even international press. So today we're going to hear about the Baltimore Homecoming and the effort to reach the Baltimore diaspora, and along with it, an effort to identify people in the city who these returning natives should get to know. The organizers of the Baltimore Homecoming are looking for nominations for Homecoming Heroes, and I'll tell you how you can get involved in that at the end of my talk with J.M. Shapiro and Nate Lowenthal, the founders of the Baltimore Homecoming. And we'll get to that conversation right after our weekly book recommendation from Paula Gallagher.
This week's book is a novel called The Perfect Mother by Amy Molloy. Twisty psychological thrillers continue to prove popular, especially those with unreliable narrators and unexpected twists. The premise of this book is what happens when the young women who make up the Brooklyn-based May Mothers support group for new moms decide to go out for one night for drinks without their newborns. Well, of course, one of the babies goes missing, abducted while the babysitter had nodded off. First-time novelist Molloy manages to blend the zeitgeist of modern parenting and, in particular, the pressures faced by educated career women to be the perfect mother with the best of the suspense genre. What I enjoyed about this book is that it took me back to my early parenting days and the personalities that made up the particular new moms group that I was a part of. The book is told from different points of view, leaving the reader to question everything that they're reading. Author Molloy plays on a mother's worst fears and runs away with our worst nightmare, a baby stolen because of a selfish moment. This is a not-so-guilty pleasure of a poolside read with a didn't-see-that-coming ending that requires a little suspension of disbelief, but nonetheless, it's a smart, snappy thriller for the summer. The Perfect Mother by Amy Molloy.
Paula Gallagher is a librarian in the Baltimore County system. She recommends a book a week on Roughly Speaking.
Hi, I'm Quinn Kelly, and I host a weekly podcast for the Baltimore Sun called Female Trouble. Each Tuesday, we feature a new long-form conversation with one of the area's most interesting and accomplished women, from public officials and congresswomen to rappers and restaurant owners. You can find Female Trouble on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Find more info at baltimoresun.com/femaletrouble.
Now, a few minutes with Mike Fanazzo, a Baltimore filmmaker who has just completed a new movie shot in Baltimore called Bored in the USA.
It's a very romantic movie. The premise of the movie is two people spend a day together before one of them leaves the country, and they kind of connect over kind of like loneliness and maybe the similar situations they're in, and also in part because of their love of old movies.
I'm going to go moving back to England today, later.
Wow, today.
Got a new job over there, yeah.
Great.
And got engaged.
Wow, congrats.
So you integrate scenes or conversations about old movies?
Both, yeah. So part of the movie, you see them talking about their love of older movies and kind of like the simplicity of it. And then another part of the movie, you actually see them going to a revival of an old movie, and they watch His Girl Friday.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell?
Yeah, Rosalind Russell.
Oh my God.
Great Howard Hawks movie. And
what I came up here to tell you is that you must stop phoning me a dozen times a day, sending me 20 telegrams.
I write a beautiful telegram, don't I? Everybody says so.
Are you going to listen to what I have to say?
Look, what's the use of fighting, Hildy? I tell you what you do. You come back to work on the paper. What? If we find we can't get along in a friendly fashion, we'll get married again.
What?
Certainly, I haven't any hard feelings.
If it was possible, it would benefit from slowing down the audio a little bit,
right,
to catch all the great lines.
Got a better offer, huh?
You bet I've got a better
all
offer.
All right, go on, take it, work for somebody else. That's the gratitude I get.
Oh, I wish you'd
stop panning.
What were
you when you came here 5 years ago, a little college girl from a school journalism? I took a doll-faced hick.
Well, you wouldn't take me if I hadn't been doll-faced.
Oh, why should I? I thought it'd be a novelty to have a face around here a man could look at without shuddering.
Listen, Walter.
Listen, I made a great reporter out of you, Hildy, but you won't be half as good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team, that's what we are. You need me and I need you, and the paper needs
both Americans.
Right, yeah, you could play that movie at 60% now, and it would seem normal. Yeah.
Oh, darling, I wanted to be on our honeymoon. I'm sorry I missed our honeymoon. But there was a great story. He plays a newspaper editor in old-time Chicago.
Right.
It's based on the front page.
Right. Classic play and film.
And the repartee and her rapier wit, she hands back the sarcasm. It's
And
go, right, with the two of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have just this classic, I want to say, like, it's ahead of its time in terms of there's this great banter and rapport between the two characters, but she's definitely this like strong female character at a time where there weren't a lot of those characters in movies.
She plays the number one reporter, and he's trying to keep her on staff to
right.
cover a big story. She's going to go off and marry some other guy.
Right.
Who sells insurance.
Yeah. He sells insurance. He makes $4,500 a year is a line in the movie.
Oh, Walter, you're wonderful in a loathsome sort of way. Now, will you please be quiet just long enough for me to tell you what I came up here to say? I have a lunch date already. I cannot break it. Will you take your hands off me? What are you playing, osteopath?
Temper.
Oh, listen, Walter. You are no longer my husband and no longer my boss. And you're not going to be my boss.
What's that supposed to mean?
Just what I say.
You mean you're not coming back to work on the paper?
You are right, Mr. Burns, for the first time today.
So this couple, and what's their names?
It's Kelly and Chris in the film.
Kelly and Chris, they actually go see a revival of His Girl Friday?
Yeah, they see a revival of His Girl Friday, and there's weird parallels between kind of their relationship and the relationship in the movie, so.
I mean, no, there are other things I
like. Like what?
The way they talk fast. That's funny. Really I like that.
Oh, Walter, I'm putting in my resignation.
Your resignation?
I can't work at the paper no more.
At the paper?
I'm getting married, Walter.
Married?
We're moving to Albany with
Albany?
His mother.
His mother?
I'm leaving on the 9 o'clock train.
9 o'clock train?
Don't follow me, Walter.
I won't.
How long have you been working on this?
I made a movie a few years ago called Wits End, and the kind of like the pace I'm on now is it takes about a year to make these movies and then another year to get them out into the world. So yeah, this one, it's been about, I guess like last winter I wrote it and we shot it last summer and it's coming out now.
Are you the auteur?
I'm the writer, director of the film, yeah.
So let me ask you something. You write a screenplay, you imagine it or hear it in your head as being a certain length as a film in terms of minutes.
Right.
So did that match up with your expectation once you finished the film?
As much as I love these old movies and the structure, because there are a lot of them are based on plays or the construct comes from the way theaters develop. But our movies are mostly improvised, but improvised off a really specific outline. So like the wording that they have isn't on the page, but like the feeling behind every line is there.
Right.
So I had about like a 30-page outline for the movie that kind of like details everything they do, what they talk about, but not necessarily the exact wording.
Okay, so a question about that. So if I'm an actor and you hand me that and you say, okay, I'm going to start shooting now, that can be incredibly frightening not to have a script with lines memorized.
Yeah, that's why you need good actors.
I was going to say, you need people who are good at improv.
Right. And this isn't improv in the sense that, all right, create a scene out of nothing. Like, the sentiment's there, and kind of like the everything they're going to do is there, but the wording isn't precise. I want them to put it in their own words to make it as realistic and as naturalistic as possible. So that's where that comes from. And I think a lot of times, like, the actors I've worked with appreciate that. And there's kind of like an authenticity and more of their personality in the dialogue that wouldn't have been there. My worry is that when I've written scripts in the past, all the characters sound like me. And as a writer, I don't want that to happen.
Who are your actors?
So with this movie, I really lucked out with some great local actors. So Kelly Lloyd's the star of our movie. She was in my last movie, Wits End, and she is a member of the Baltimore Improv Group, so she does have an improv and comedy background. And then the lead actor is Chris Milner, who is actually a wonderful stand-up comedian, and for about the last year had a radio show on Sirius XM on the Comedy Central Network. So two very quick-witted, just naturally good people, and they have amazing chemistry in the movie.
Technical question, how do you shoot the film?
I feel like whenever people talk about independent films now, there's a lot of like this big sentiment of you don't need film and you don't need a ton of money to make a movie
anymore.
You just
need an iPhone.
Exactly. Right. We shot on...
and a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, we didn't do that for this one. We shot on DSLR cameras, so consumer, cameras. And yeah, really, you can make a beautiful movie now. I love the idea that... with not a ton of money, your camera and your laptop is a movie studio. You can write, shoot, edit, and put out a movie. So it's pretty great.
June 7th.
Yeah, June 7th at the Senator
And you're on the
Theater.
Big screen at the Senator?
Yeah, Theater One and the Senator Theater.
And for Baltimoreans looking for locations, people who love to see their hometown in film, can you mention a couple of the locations you used?
Absolutely. So yeah, this is like my love letter to Baltimore in a way. And I love how, like, with like John Waters and Barry Levinson, they have their versions of Baltimore, and The Wire obviously showed something different. And for me, it's like I kind of wanted to show my favorite places that you don't see. So it was cool to show like the Pagoda and Patterson Park and Graffiti Alley and just all these like landmarks that I love. The view from Federal Hill, the city, it's all these great places. So
June 7th at the Senator Theater, Board in the USA.
It's at 7 o'clock. And actually, Dan, I set up for your podcast listeners, if they use the promo code RODRICKS, they will get a discount on their tickets.
All right, folks. It's RODRICKS, not IX. RODRICKS.
Go to boardinTheUSAfilm.com. It's all the information about our film, as well as a trailer and ticket information. It's all right there.
With a little bonus for Roderick's listeners.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Mike Finazzo is the writer and director of Board in the USA. You can find a link to the film's website and the ticket offer in the notes with this podcast. Now to the Baltimore Homecoming and its founders, Nate Lowenthal and J.M. Shapiro. The first voice you hear will be that of Nate. This is an interesting idea. Whose idea was this?
Well, the idea actually originated in Detroit 4 years ago when they were facing a pretty difficult moment as a city. They decided, why don't we try to bring back some Detroit alumni from around the country? And so they launched the Detroit Homecoming. I can tell you a little bit more about what they accomplished. But I was at the White House running a special task force for Baltimore City after the unrest. And we had this chance to see what was happening in other cities facing difficult moments around the country. We got to know the Detroit folks and learned about the Detroit Homecoming. And I thought, this is something that would work in Baltimore. Like Detroit, Baltimore City has a lot of emotional resonance with people who grew up here or lived here.
Did it work in Detroit?
Yeah. So it's been incredibly successful in Detroit. They've held it now for 4 years in a row. And their idea was get folks back and show them a different side of Detroit. Show them the real estate investment that's happening, the new businesses, the startups, the social entrepreneurs, and they've mobilized $240 million in different kinds of investments for the city. Venture capital, real estate, as I said, but also a new gymnastic center for low-income kids, a new foundation opened a big office there, retail outlets have been opened up, all sorts of different projects and efforts, you know, broadly to help the city.
JM, how'd you get involved?
So I met Nate at a White House event, and he was talking to me about this idea for Baltimore Homecoming. And after the uprising, I had spent a lot of time thinking about how could I help Baltimore City. My great-great-grandparents landed in Locust Point in 1907. So I'm a fifth-generation Baltimorean, born in Sinai Hospital, grew up in Bolton Hill, and really said, you know what, I've got to dig deeper to make a difference in the city in some way, shape, or form. And so when I was talking to Nate at the White House, he said, you know, I think we should do this idea of Baltimore Homecoming. And immediately the light bulb went off. I said, this is really an unbelievable idea, and one that I want to get involved in. So that's how Nate and I sort of connected around the idea of sort of taking this idea that had been started in Detroit and bringing it to Baltimore.
So the appeal is to someone who has an emotional connection to the city, but also might have financial power to help out. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So people who maybe they grew up here or they worked here or they went to school here, but are maybe a little disconnected from the city, but harbor some nostalgia. So bring them back and show them all the great things happening in Baltimore. So the program is going to be 3 days, October 3rd through 5th. So it's a Wednesday evening, all day Thursday, Friday morning. And it'll be kind of a whirlwind tour of Baltimore's artistic and social and economic landscape. So they'll meet artists, they'll do neighborhood tours, they'll visit Hopkins and the great, you know, the incubator stuff happening down there.
Now who's the they, Nate? Who have you invited?
So it's been a funny process, actually.
But it's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting trying to track people down. You know, you start with Wikipedia and they've got, you know, 30 names. And then, you know, we start talking to people and asking people from big businesses or people with some historical knowledge of the city. And you get 50 more names. But we wanted to get to like 1,000 names. So what we did was we started going to every high school and college, public and private in the area, talking to their alumni offices and saying, look, this is a win-win. You know, we'll get some of your folks back. They'll get excited about Baltimore. Maybe they'll drop by the school while they're in town. And through that, we've been able to get so far a list of about 500 people. And these are, you know, everything from Paralympic athletes to hedge fund managers to entertainers to athletes. And again, it's a funny thing because everyone can name the first 10, you know, but it's after that, it gets a lot harder. But when you look at the list, it's an impressive group of people.
Can we name any?
Yeah, I mean,
can we name any that maybe have agreed to come?
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, we can name Muggsy Bogues, right? So I think most people would know who Muggsy Bogues is on a very famous Dunbar basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore Boys, which a great movie about that team. And so we sent invitations to people like Muggsy, but we didn't just send them a paper invitation. We sent them a box with Baltimore goods. Right. And so they got
burger cookies
and burger cookies and Natty Bo socks and things like that.
But that put a smile on his face.
That put a smile on his face.
Well, it's funny because Jam ran into Scott Rogowski. Tell a story.
So Scott Rogowski, if you watch HQ, which is this, they get 1 million live followers a night on a trivia game show. And I think a lot of people would sort of heard of HQ. I ran into Scott Rogowski and I introduced myself as the founder of Homecoming. We had sent him the box and he goes, oh my God, I love those Natty Bo socks. I wear them all the time.
Did he agree to come?
He has not agreed to come yet. He said, you know what? What you find with people who are, in a lot of cases, high profile, a lot of cases, busy.
Especially in entertainment
is like, look, you know, they say, we're interested. Just give us some time as it gets closer. So Scott said, of course, I'm interested. In fact, he gave us a nice shout out on HQ one night. Which was nice of him. But people like the CEO of SoulCycle.
Melanie Whelan is her name. She grew up in Baltimore. She was so excited about it. She just emailed us right back, you know, right away and said, I'm in. I'm going to bring my whole family. John Jacobson, who's the CEO of Highfields Capital, multi-billion-dollar hedge fund. He has a, you know, major philanthropic foundation. He's really excited. He gave us a great quote, is fired up to come back. Carl Turnipseed, who is the highest-ranking African-American at the New York Fed. He's a very proud Morgan State alum. Him and his wife are coming back. So it's actually the business community. They seem to be able to commit on schedules a little bit further in advance.
Have you been in touch with Josh Charles?
So Josh is actually one of our co-chairs for the event.
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah. Because I see him on Twitter, follow him. He follows me, and he seems very interested in what's going on in Baltimore.
He actually specifically mentioned some of your pieces to me in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Because he follows Baltimore News very closely. And
I've noticed that.
He really likes your reporting. He's an amazing guy. He's really fired up. He's been helping us connect to other folks in entertainment. He's actually shooting a PSA with us on the Heroes that we're going to be going live with in the next few weeks.
Oh, the Heroes. So we can transition into Heroes now.
Yeah.
Hometown Heroes.
Yeah, Homecoming Heroes. Yeah.
Okay, so there's the Baltimore Homecoming, and then you have Homecoming Hero Awards that you just announced. Let's talk about that then. What's that?
Yeah. So look, the overall vision with Homecoming is to get these alumni back and to get them inspired to do something for Baltimore, right? This is not just a nice party where they come back and hang out, although it will be that. The idea is to move them to action.
Right.
And the whole program is going to be structured to show them, again, different artists, entrepreneurs, innovators, community leaders around Baltimore, and then say, look, here are very concrete ways that you can get involved. Here are venture capital funds that you can invest in. Here are neighborhood revitalization funds that you could get involved in. You know, we're still curating that list, but we want them to take action. And the goal of the Heroes is to sort of source stories of people from Baltimore doing amazing things in the community as artists, as community leaders, as activists, who might fly under the radar. And our theory is that by unearthing these stories and sharing them, that is how we can best inspire people to take action. And that there are all these people in Baltimore with amazing ideas, business ideas, nonprofit ideas, that just don't get the access to capital or philanthropy that they need. And that by sharing those stories, we can actually mobilize more resources for Baltimore.
And so that as these expats, in essence, come back to Baltimore, and we hope to have 100 or 150 of them come back, and then we'll have a group of, you know, Baltimoreans with us as well, that we can expose those people coming back to these homecoming heroes, and they can just be inspired by the work that these people are doing every day to make a difference.
That's a great idea. So what are you looking for with the Hero Awards then? You're looking for nominations from
the
public?
So right now we are looking for public nominations for those awards, realizing that, you know, if you go deep into these communities, there are people who are making
a difference.
There's a lot
of people around.
A lot of people who love the city are doing good work, and we want to make sure that we get all of those names from the people in the city, from residents.
And the awards actually carry some cash prizes, right?
So I can just explain the process quickly.
Sure.
So it's really important to us that be public, not just nominations, but voting. And so the public is really selecting these heroes, and it's really supposed to be, as I said, people flying a little bit under the radar or who are kind of new to the scene, activists, community leaders, artists, innovators, small business owners. You know, there are a lot of great people who have done big things for the city but are very well established. This is not really aimed at them. We're trying to find people that we wouldn't have otherwise kind of come across. And there will be 10 finalists that the public votes on. All of them will be included in the homecoming and being given a chance to kind of share their stories. But the top 5 vote getters will win $3,000 each. But more importantly, will be given a real platform at the homecoming to talk about their work. And our hope is not just to inspire the city and our guests who come back, but that when they go home to Chicago or LA or New York or San Francisco, they're bringing with them a powerful new story.
Yeah, so ultimately that we can create brand ambassadors so that these people
in Baltimore could really use that.
I mean,
it's been rough the last 3 years especially.
And I think if you dig below the headlines, there are good things happening. And so our idea is to sort of try to figure out what those good things are. And when we bring these people back, they're going to be like, okay, I read the headlines, but wow, I was just in Baltimore, and let me tell you what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to sort of convey those stories. And when you get them out into these neighborhoods, which we are going to take them into the neighborhoods, and they see the good work that people are doing, and they see the movement that some of these communities are making, I think it'll inspire them to sort of talk positively and to get involved. I mean, when we were at Detroit Homecoming, it was really interesting. Everybody you talked to came back to Detroit. All they mentioned was what they were doing for Detroit. That was what was important to them, those people that came back. They're like, this is how I'm helping Detroit. And when you think about it, that's the same thing that we can hope for people who come back to Detroit.
There is this dilemma. It's like a paradox in Baltimore. You know, you can't ignore the problems because they're in your face almost every day, it seems like. It's like nonstop, practically, with the violence or some problem with city government or some city fail someplace along the line. But when you go out, as I do, go out and talk to people and see what's going on in different communities. I was at the Baltimore Food Hub the other day and was really impressed with what's going on over there. And then, you know, we've told the story in part a little bit, but it's not as well known as the homicides.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it never will be. But you've got to make the effort to find those stories. They are here. There's a lot of energy in Baltimore, a lot of positive energy.
Yeah.
sometimes it feels like an avalanche of bad. Yeah. Know, sometimes.
But even when that comes out, I don't think that slows down the people who are doing the work on the ground.
Doesn't seem to.
Any day. Yeah. And because they are so motivated to make our city. People feel really special about Baltimore. I mean, the people have grown up here, and so it doesn't slow them down at all. They just keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Part of our theory is that it's not just important to get out stories about Baltimore that kind of change the narrative nationally, but that substantively, one of the problems is that people don't have access to the philanthropy or capital that they need in Baltimore. And there was this big study that came out from Hopkins from the 21st Century Cities Initiative. And it basically showed that Baltimore, compared to other peer cities, has less capital available for businesses. And so 30% of our, you know, successful startups that are incubators leave to find capital from other cities. You know, that is a solvable problem. If we get out the stories about great entrepreneurs in Baltimore and encourage more venture capital into Baltimore, we're going to keep those businesses here. And I think there's a similar thing with, you know, social entrepreneurs. We all have an experience of meeting some person running an after-school program or running a community center that's doing incredible work, but just, you know, is about to shutter its doors because of lack of resources. So by sharing those stories, we're not just changing the narrative about great people in Baltimore. We're actually mobilizing the resources to make a real difference on the ground here.
And you can hope that these people come back. It's not only about donating money. Look, that would be great as an investment, but investment in the wide range means, we'd love for SoulCycle to open up. We'd love for somebody to open up an office here, mm-hmm. a corporate headquarters, a training center, a nonprofit center, something where they just come back to Baltimore and say, "Wow, I didn't know that was happening in this neighborhood. I've seen something here. Why don't I bring it to Baltimore?"
Right.
Or why don't I connected with this person who I wouldn't think I connected with. Now that I'm connected with them, let me see what I can do to help. And I think that's where, you know, that we could see some things as well.
So Nate and JM, thank you very much, and good luck with this.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, yeah.
Nate Lowenthal and JM Shapiro are co-founders of the Baltimore Homecoming, which takes place October 3rd through 5th. You can find a link to the Homecoming website in the notes with this podcast. Now, about the Homecoming Hero Awards, according to the rules, any Baltimore City resident is eligible, particularly people who have made a significant contribution to the city through their activism, the arts, or community work, or through a faith-based organization or nonprofit. Starting July 18th, you can vote for your top five heroes. The voting will be open through August 18th. All 10 finalists will be invited to participate in the October Homecoming and be given an opportunity to share their stories. And the top five winners will receive a cash award of $3,000 each. More information at BaltimoreHomecoming.com. That's our show for now. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking. For the producer, Quinn Kelly, in the Baltimore Sun Newsroom, I'm Dan Rodericks. See you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.